There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, and we are on Dolphin Island live from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Day one, and lots going on here. If you stop on by, I'll say, I said this at the beginning of last hour. They are, to back up the president, Chase Farley, they are so packed with folks this year that you kind of got to look to see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. Like, quite often we're out there in the open. They've stacked so many vehicles. I mean, you can see us when you come out of the tent, right, the air-conditioned tent, you'll be able to see us, but you got to look between all the other vehicles. So I'm just saying this year, I'm glad to be here, but there's some of these other people. If something happens to their vehicle tonight, I don't know. It wasn't me. It wasn't me, but if they happen to move their other vehicles before so you can see us from the road, we could work that out. But do stop by and see us. We'll hook you up with some FM Talk 106.5 goodies as well. All right. You know, last hour I was worried. I was like, am I allowed to have, the way the president and the vice president can't be on the same plane, was I allowed to have the mayor of Dolphin Island and the president of the Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo in the same place, you know, because for security reasons, but they said yes. I've done it to myself again this hour as well. In the mobile command unit, we will talk this hour, my buddy Abe Harper from Harper Technologies. We have the emperor of judging at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, Dr. Sean Powers, and the mega emperor of DCNR, Commissioner Chris Blankenship. Gentlemen, good to see you.
Good seeing you.
I'm glad to be here.
I just won't even bury the lead. We'll let you get right to it. When you came into the van here, the command unit, you said, we just weighed in a shark, and not just a shark. What are you talking about? How big of a...
A big bull, 470-some-odd pounds. So
that's... I mean, here's
that's a big bull shark.
Yeah, to put it in context, because if people don't do what you do for a living,
I think the state record is just at about 500.
So it's that close to a record.
Yeah, I'd have to
see. Because everybody sees every shark they see weighs 1,000 pounds, right?
Yes.
So this is a really big shark.
It's a big shark. It's the first one brought in yet today. So, you know, most of the sharks will probably come in tomorrow after the fishermen fish overnight. A lot of the experienced shark guys. And, you know, we don't have that many sharks weighed in because we're really restrictive on what we want to see. We really want to see the winners. I think last year we only had about 10 weighed in total because the guys are culling them themselves with the longer length requirements. But it's always a crowd pleaser to see one of those big sharks. Other than that, it's been, you know, a little on the slow side, but that's expected on a Friday. We've had some nice speckled trout weighed in. I think a lot of people are coming in early to get out of the heat. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll go back out this afternoon. But it's hot. It is.
Yeah, you got that right. It was, now that it's slicked off, it's not rough, but it's hot.
Yep.
But this afternoon it'll cool back down.
Yeah, and this afternoon we'll see some of the offshore fishermen come on in with the snapper and everything that we're used to seeing.
You know, I can't wait for the moment, and I hope I'm there to take the picture as the commissioner weighs it, because you didn't get to go this morning, but you're going this afternoon, right?
I'm planning to. I couldn't go this morning. Had a few things came up, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to be off and you want to fish, but different things are happening around the state. But this afternoon, I'm planning to go out there and see if I can catch me a few.
That's what I want. Calendar cover with Sean Powers, check it in, the fish in the rodeo for Chris Blankenship. If we can get that picture, y'all, please. That's good stuff.
It'd have to be a big one, though.
And that's right. I'm not bringing in some little thing to the to the dock.
But are you fishing snapper today or trout? What are you going to do?
Probably going to go try and catch a few snapper and then just see what else bites. That's the beauty of the deep-sea fishing rodeo with 30-plus categories with all the inshore species and the offshore species. And our artificial reef system is so productive. You know, you're trying to catch snapper, red snapper, but, you know, you catch a gray snapper or a big vermilion snapper or, you know, I've been off there, as you'll see, some of those boats come in, especially on Sunday, from way offshore with big hardtails, big blue runners.
Those things
big white trout that are generally more inshore species, but the big ones they'll catch further offshore. And so it's, this is just a fantastic event and really showcases what unbelievable fishing we have off the coast of Alabama.
You know, when you see those white trout you're talking about, if y'all had never seen these, like, there's the white trout that we catch here. I love a big yellowmouth. I was catching big yellowmouth white trout. They were real big. They were 12 inches or something like that. And then they bring them in from offshore, from deep, and they're weighing them in pounds. They're not talking about inches here. I don't know what the record is, but these things are multi-pound.
No, when you see these three pushing 4-pound white trout, you're like, wow, let me check that, make sure there's no spots on it.
You're right.
And sure enough, it's a white trout, but they're all coming from offshore.
Okay, so we got the scientists on here. Let's ask that. Is that because they're living long enough not getting caught out there? Is it, you've taught us over time that big red snapper tend to move further out as they get older, they move out. The bigger ones. Is there any reasoning on white trout? Why they? I mean, somebody out off rigs in deep water or catching giant white trout?
Some of both. I mean, as they age, they're going to go deeper and go offshore. A lot of it has to do...
So they do the same thing, like a snapper movement.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with their diet change. When the fish get that big, they need to eat other fish just because it's energetically they have to do that. So there's finding other fish for those are a little easier offshore. So when they switch to more fish diet and away from the shrimp and crabs, they're going to naturally progress offshore.
And like the commissioner pointed out, the other species, if you've been here when people are blue runners or hardtails, we call them, but, you know, when they're weighing those in, these are monsters. I mean, this is huge.
No, sometimes you get them, and we'll double look at them to make sure they're not a big horse-eye jack or another jack species. And a lot of them will get really, really dark. And so, no, those are the ones that are make sure that, yeah, that is a blue runner. Why?
And I don't have any children anymore. They're young enough to fish the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, and I don't have any grandkids yet. But we were out at the end of May fishing a spot, and I caught a sea robin that would have been the rodeo-winning sea robin offshore and an oyster fish at the same spot. You know,
don't they know they're not, they're not supposed to be in that same neighborhood?
And they're generally more of a around the oyster reef or inshore species, but I caught those about 10 miles offshore. I said, if I had a child, I'd be back over here on the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament to the same reef, because evidently they're producing some really big, odd fish for offshore. It was more of a natural bottom there. So,
you know, you hate to make any predictions on size and what's going to break a record.
Oh, I don't know. You might, but I don't.
But I tell you what, and we've talked to the commissioner and Marine Resources about this, vermilion snapper, I've never seen that fishery better than
and
that
would translate
now
for the scientists. Beeliners, y'all. Sorry. I'm here as a translator.
That's right. The beeliners this year have been fantastic. And all the way through the winter, you know, before the red snapper season started, the charter guys and then the other guys that were out fishing, especially on like the Argosy that we just sunk a few weeks ago, those big high relief reefs, the Liberty ship, some of the super pyramids. You know, when we started building those super pyramids, it was really to diversify what people could catch out there, and was to help build that beeliner fishery and amberjack, not just red snapper. And so I think after, you know, sinking several hundred of those and trying to build some of those bigger reefs, we're starting to see some fruits of that labor, and the vermilion or beeliner fishery has really, really been fantastic.
Do they cycle? Could it be could they had an age class some years ago and now these are maturing all at one time? Or
sure, and that's how most fish, they're usually a really big year class, everything lines up just perfectly, and you fish down that big year class. The difference with Alabama is that we always have some base level good recruitment. And I think it has to do with the habitat. It has to do with, obviously, the nutrients in the water. But the habitat, we always seem to have a baseline. Yes, it jumps up occasionally because everything lines up. But most fisheries you go to, you know, you'll get a good year every three or four.
Okay.
And then you kind of fish that down, and you got to watch fishing that down. But Alabama consistently, for at least the reef fish, we consistently have a really high level of recruitment of new individuals to the fish population. That's not true for everything. With flounder, we see that we got good years and bad years for flounder. The inshore species are a little different. But, I mean, we talk about it all the time, and we talk to Chris about it. I mean, I keep on telling people, these are the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about, you know, the good old days when I used to go out with my grandfather, I mean, the fishery for speckled trout, the fishery for red snapper, the fishery for vermilion. Now, everybody might want a higher average size or whatever, but, you know, it's the good old days.
I tell you, when we, and we'll go to the break and come back, but I know that the commissioner and I spent a lot of time down here, you know, 1980s, was it? It was 80s, started when I first met you probably back then. A redfish was a hard thing to find. It was like you could go catch two sometimes, maybe three. Mm. Not like it is now, that's for sure. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. We're live from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Right here at the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Also, check out their social medias and web pages and website. Get entertainment going on every night. You know, this used to be just dang fishing tournament, y'all. And we just fished, and if somebody strummed the guitar one night, that was good. Now it's like a music festival that happens to have the planet's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament alongside
it. The rodeo used to always be a lot of other entertainment besides just fishing, but maybe not the same kind that you have now. It's a lot more family-friendly other entertainment than it was maybe, you know, 20 years ago. I think it's a much they've gotten this into a really fantastic event.
It kind of got wild and woolly. When you and I were boys in the 80s, I remember one time they decided that people weren't going to be able to ride four-wheelers everywhere on the island during rodeo, and they started cracking down on that, and they were pulling four-wheelers over left and right.
Yeah, there was always a couple of, you can usually count a couple of good fights on a Saturday mm-hmm. night down there, and they've cut all that out, and it's good. They got good entertainment with some bands and a lot of vendors down here, and it's really a fantastic event for, I say for South Mobile County, but really for the state of Alabama and really in the country. As I was up in Florence earlier this week at the tourism conference, and people were asking me about my schedule, and I said I'm going down to Dolphin Island for the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo this week, and they said, "Oh yeah, that's a big event in it." And I said, "It's the largest fishing tournament in the world."
Yeah, go get your Guinness World Book of Records and look.
In the world, we host that on Dolphin Island every year, and it's a huge event for Alabama. And I'm excited that what this has built into in the last 93.
You
know, the last 93 years that has gone from just being kind of a cool little fishing event among friends to the largest fishing tournament in the world.
It is, and I want to talk about that science side, how that pays off. But also, Dr. Powers mentioned this at the beginning of the hour, so y'all are thinking about coming down if you just want to do some looking. I mean, we've already had one neighborhood, like within 30 pounds of the record bull shark weighed in. And you said tomorrow, I'm trying to get pro. I mean, you know this. You weigh the fish, kind of the pro tip. Like,
if people wanted to see sharks, yeah, I say that, and they won't. But usually Saturday morning after the guys have had a chance, especially when it's flat, presumably going to be flat tonight. Tomorrow morning, scales open at 10.
So
10:30, 11-ish, they'll start coming in. And you can see the scientists sampling. We also put fish out in the display ice bin, and we have some of the graduate students talking to people about interesting things that they might not know about these fish.
Tell you what, the conversation that was going on in here with all of us during the news break, and we're talking about boat ramps, and it's been a big deal. But, Commissioner, you gave me a stat. I heard you just say it, how much we've improved in what's been spent in boat ramps here.
In Mobile and Baldwin counties, we've invested over $44 million in boating access over the last several years. And
that's crazy.
And that's including some Deepwater Horizon funding, and then especially with some of the Go Mesa funding, but then also partnering with Innovate Alabama and the Outdoor Recreation Council of Innovate. I appreciate the opportunity to be the chair of that and working with the board to provide better public access to outdoor recreation. And then working with the counties, Mobile and Baldwin counties in particular, but then the cities as well. You know, as I came onto the island yesterday afternoon, I saw the dump trucks and the workers. They're working on the brand new Cedar Point boat ramp that we funded Mobile County and to build it. And so they're the ones that are have contracted it. But the money came through the state, through Go Mesa, to be able to do that. And so, you know, we've got a great bit of work done already, but it's still new projects coming along.
Yeah, and it's a tougher thing, too, to thread the needle that you do in Mobile and Baldwin County, because while you do these projects all over the state, we got big lakes up there, rivers, you put boat, but there's a lot more real estate available. Is that fair to say in other places? Not that, I mean, some of the lake communities are very, I mean, that real estate's very valuable, but you're talking about probably the highest dollar real estate in the state of Alabama are the areas you're trying to put boat ramps in.
That's right. And so, you know, the big boat ramp on the Intercoastal Waterway that Baldwin County did, you know, right there in Orange Beach at the north of the wharf. You know, that was a fantastic 44-acre spot that was just available that we could acquire and build a boat ramp like that with adequate parking. And those don't come along very often. Most of the stuff, like you said, has been developed or has options to be developed, and so it makes it cost prohibitive to try and property. You know, when you look at Dolphin Island, we redid the boat ramps at Billy Goat Hole, Little Billy Goat Hole. We made as much parking as possible down there, but
we're on an island.
That's right, we're on an island. There's only so much available, and I had somebody call me complaining a couple weeks ago that we needed more boat ramps in South Mobile County, and I told the guy, I said, I don't want to be, you know, I appreciate the feedback. I said, but my goodness, we built three boat ramps on Dolphin Island. We're building the Cedar Point ramp. The new ramp over at the Bilo Battery City Docks is going to be a big four-lane ramp. You know, like a lot of it. And the guy said, well, yeah, we just need more parking. I said, well, I agree with you 100% on that. Where would you suggest that we add the parking? And he said, well, there's no land. And I said, you and I agree. We need more parking, but we don't have a place to, you know, we're doing the best we can with what's available. And, you know, I'm thankful for that Intercoastal ramp, the County Road 6 ramp, the ramps on the island. You know, it's really starting to see more and more people be able to get on the water. And as the fishing continues to get better, hopefully you'll continue to see more people invest money and buy boats and get out there. And we need to have access points for them.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up here, too, I appreciate all the artificial reefs here, but I think the best one you're going to do for tourism is one that's easy to mark up on a bottom machine, and that casino boat's going to be real easy for people to mark up.
That's what people kept asking for the coordinates after we sunk that. You know, we gave some general coordinates, and they said, was that the exact coordinates? And I texted, I probably was a little bit of a smart aleck text to our own staff. I said, that's like horseshoes and hand grenades, man. You get close,
you're going to find that.
You can find that. It's 408 feet long, 60 feet tall.
We're not like trying to find
80 feet wide.
Chicken coop.
If you get close, you can find it.
And,
I said that, but I texted him, I said, yeah, tell him that is the midpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to find it around there. All right. And you're going to join me tomorrow on the outdoor show?
Absolutely.
And I want to get some predictions for what you think, maybe most unusual fish, something like
cool.
that. Cool. All right. Sharks have already come in. More fish coming in today. Check us out right here on the island. You know, the first important turn on your right when you get here, you'll be at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, live from Dolphin Island, day one of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Glad to be down here. We'll be down here throughout the weekend, too. And speaking of what's going on here, if you were pulling a boat, I may have seen you yesterday. You're pulling a boat and you didn't have near enough. What was the all hat, no cattle? If you're all boat, no truck, I got a guy who can help you. He's my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Hey, David.
Hey, bud. I heard the temperature is supposed to go up, the humidity, too, so you're in a good spot.
Yes.
We've got probably 25 trucks on the ground, Sean. Speaking of boat pullers, we got a 2012 F-350 Lariat diesel dually. So, I mean, it'll pull an Invincible or it'll pull a bay boat, whatever you're looking. So, got plenty of inventory and a good selection. And the guys in the bay boats, you know, if you're looking for a small SUV or something like that, we got plenty of those that'll more than pull the smaller bay boats. So we got a good selection.
All right, let's talk about financing selection as well. You got a lot of that.
We do. The financing, the rates, you know, they've come down and kind of leveled out. So we got a really good single-digit interest rates. All the way to financing for people that are currently in bankruptcy. We did one of those the other day. Somebody's actually in bankruptcy. It's not a big process. A couple of things we got to have, but they're very accessible, and we can help anybody with anything. So, and we've got a lot of cars that fit that program.
All right. Tell folks how to find you online and in person.
Online, we're lcmmotorcars.com. And I don't know if you've had an opportunity, Sean, but go on there and check out our new photo booth. I mean, that really, really looks nice. And then you come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 in Plantation. That's exit 15A off of I-10. 1 mile, we're on the corner on the left-hand side. And don't forget about the kids going back to school. We're going to need a car. Unless you want to take them back and forth to school, come see us. We can help you.
Good stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. There's the man at LCM Motor Cars, David McCrary. And we're continuing our discussion at, you know, how the behind the scenes, how it all works here at the rodeo. First of all, you're listening to us, this robust sound here. We link up the studio different ways, but this is the first time ever we've been on the fiber. And of course, it's our buddy Abe Harper from Harper Technologies. Thank you.
Always. Thanks, Phil.
I mean, like, because it's not good enough just to have regular internet. You got to have fiber down here.
That's right. That's right. You know, lightning prone environment calls for something a little better than copper.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah. I never think
there's
about
that. There's a method that. To my madness. Now, Alabama has something that's a constant. You can set your watch by lightning every summer day at about 2 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And one strike, and it takes down the entirety of a site if we've got copper everywhere. So
it's not just, okay. So I always just thought fiber because it's faster.
It is. Yeah, it's speed of light. That's right.
But I didn't think about it. Glass.
But it's non-conducting. That's right. The data transfers over fiber as light wave as opposed to electrons.
See, now I'm going to use that tonight at a party somewhere. So, in fact, here's the thing. Really, it's really about the connectivity and conductivity. And I'll say Abe told me. But, yeah, y'all are linking everything here, all the internet, which is flying. I'm on the public Wi-Fi here, and it's flying.
Yeah, so this is our fifth year as a sponsor with the rodeo team, and absolutely love it. Every year we do something a little more forward-facing. And for it to be an outdoor event, you know, I was kind of listening to you and the commissioner and Dr. Powers talk about the growing up with the rodeo and mm-hmm. seeing it evolve over time. Just the same, the methodologies that we use to gather the fish, to input the numbers, the system that we use for weigh-in and live check-ins for the anglers, all of that's gone, you know, with some type of a digital element. Obviously, we want to keep it pure. We want to still be a good, robust fishing tournament, camaraderie mm-hmm. between anglers and sportsmen and women. But at the end of the day, you got to have a way to get all those systems connected. So that's the role we've been fortunate to play as a vendor and a sponsor for the team down here.
Well, it's cool. And it's a... it shows when y'all in here and your internet's flying, you see what Harper does here. I mean, they could do it here, they could do it anywhere.
That's right.
For sure. And fiber. And now y'all can flex on your friends and say, well, it's because lightning doesn't affect it either. So I see.
That's right.
Trent, did you get that? You're going to use that too?
I'm all over it. Yeah, I feel good that I learned it too. I wasn't aware of that. So appreciate the knowledge.
We won't. There's only 40, 50,000 people listening. So we'll just keep that our secret. And we can say, oh, yeah, in fact, it's a really, you know, lightning doesn't get it as much. And you and I sound super smart like Abe. You know, you mentioned last night, I was telling folks that there were new faces judging for the Liars Contest. One of the new faces, you were sitting right there by me, and I was like, pretty cool. We're talking about Buffalo Rock Pepsi. I'm like, wait, that's Trent Davidson. That's Alabama football, Trent. So very cool. So I know I want to talk about what you're doing now and with Buffalo Rock Pepsi, but Roll Tide, brother.
Roll Tide. Yeah. It's great to be here. And you know, I was over in Georgia for probably the last 8 years. And, you know, we've got some Bama fans all over the world, and especially in Georgia. But it was good to be back kind of around home. I was born in Mobile, grew up in Brewton, Alabama. So it's good to be back where people remember the name, you know, and I was in the Mobile press quite a bit and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm around family. And last night was cool because when you're over in Georgia, you know, you may get a little blip, but
you don't get like you at home.
Yeah, it was a warm welcome last night. And yeah, I'm thankful to be a part of it personally. And then like you mentioned, you know, with what we're doing with Buffalo Rock Pepsi, so great to be here. You mentioned, Abe, you're being your fifth year and, you know, this being our first, but and I'm sure there's still things you probably see every year, but me seeing it the first time through my eyes, I saw this as a little kid, and, you know, it was never on my radar what the future would hold and being here today.
You didn't know you'd be back one day in this capacity.
Right, and it is unbelievable just the operation that they run here, and obviously your fiber being the backbone of it, and you know, we've got some people on site that we brought in, a third party, to run some media and things like that, so I know they're taking advantage and happy to have the services that they do. But man, this is impressive.
What about that undertaking when you're going to have, I don't know how many cans and bottles came out here, you probably do, but I mean, that's like a major operation, because you're still getting product to all the other places that normally get it, and then you got this on top of it.
Right, and we've got our top leadership from our Mobile franchise, which is, you know, still over in Mobile County by the airport, but building a brand new facility there in Loxley. But yeah, we've got our top people. We've got a full truck out here. We supplied a reefer truck, you know, for some of ours and a lot of just the other things. I wanted to be a true partner in this, but yeah, I don't know exactly how many pallets. I know there's one truckload with drinks, another truckload of Pepsi Challenge swag that when people come and take the Pepsi Challenge with the zero sugars of us and our competitor, and you get to win a prize. And so, you know, half a truck is just shirts and bottles and giveaways. So
I saw some of that gear last night walking around.
Yeah. And, you know, now we've gotten over into alcohol. So we're a 125-year company, and we got into alcohol maybe 2 years ago for the first time.
Huh.
So that's our tent beside the Pepsi Challenge. When you come out, it's got Porch on it, which is a Good People Brewing that we distribute. But we've got samples of that, and then also a Be Light Martin's product, Night Generation from Belgium, that touched America through us.
Okay, that beer, if for some reason, you know how it's weird, like you don't hear about something forever, and then last night was the third time in a week and a half. I had never seen that beer in my life before.
Right.
And it's the third time in a week and a half I've seen it. I mean, a buddy of mine run some cows with me, and we're out there after work. He said, "Hey, you want to get a beer?" I'm like, "Sure." And he said, "Check these out." I had never seen one before. Then I saw one about 4 days later, and then I saw it last night.
Well, you know, and it's
what is this stuff?
Purely from scratch. So again, ninth generation over in Belgium. So this is 250 years old over there. But we just brought it to America. Buffalo Rock did. And it's taken some time to get out there. I mean, you know, we tell that it's like an Ultra and a Miller had a baby, and it's, you know, it's got less carbs and calories and more taste and less price and all these things. So, you know, penetrating that market. I mean, and you got a bunch of Pepsi soft drink folks. And so we rolled out with alcohol, and our, you know, the visionary that we have of a fourth generation owner in a 125-year business and our CEO and officers, and then it gets down into the people that are like here today, and our men and women that drive the trucks and pick the cases. But everybody is bought in, and I'll tell you, we have learned that that is a difficult business. And obviously, when you're going up against the major beer houses and products, then for you to tell us that you've heard about it three times in a week, man, that's like one of the highlights of my career. Because I mean, it's been tough, but it is, when you get it in a hand,
it finally hit I guess a critical mass or something. Because I had, honestly, before a week and a half ago, I had never, when I saw that first, I had never seen a can. I never knew nothing about it.
And when we get a can in a hand and people try it, they really, you know, there's something in that portfolio, because everything isn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But with what we've got with a premium light lager, the Belgium, you know, Dew Hard is something that blows people's mind, because you got Mountain Dew that's alcohol, whether it's a Baja, a Livewire, you know, a Code Red, and it has no sugar and no caffeine. And, you know, our it keeps going from there with Lipton, you know, hard and all these, but there's usually something in that alcohol portfolio that people say, where has this been? Where can I find it? And it's starting to get that following. So it's good to have it out here.
Yeah, you mentioned on the soft drink side, too, the number of, like, zero sugars or no sugar. I mean, that's, like, pretty much what – I mean, that's what comes into my house. There's really not any sugar drinks. I wonder how – like, you may be proprietary, you can't tell me, but is it 50 – like, for Pepsi, is it 50-50 sugar, no sugar, or where is it?
You know, this has been a huge topic of conversation with all the SNAP and EBT and the MAHA movements and all that, which, not getting political, everybody can have what they want there. But from our standpoint, you know, we're under attack from a sugar standpoint. Mm-hmm. But 60% of what comes out across all America, and that's us, that's our competitor, that's Dr. Pepper as their own entity, which we have some of their products. But 60% of what Americans consume is non-carb, no sugar, such as that. And we purposely saw where the puck was going years ago, and we've done and invested a lot of money as the American Beverage Association and such. So not to get on the rabbit hole, but 60% is and we are the only ones that have come out with, like, you know, the diet zero sugar Mountain Dew. Twinkie hadn't done that. I don't think Twinkie's a sponsor out here, so I'm not stepping on their toes too hard. But, man, we're really trying to do our part to help all those talking points.
But it's more than half is without sugar.
Yeah, and, you know, and water, bottled water, which people laughed at, I think, 30 years ago, that surpassed soft drink sales as a whole. So I know there's people out there that might love this, and some are like, I wish this guy had quit talking about soft drinks. But, hey, it's kind of mind-blowing when you get there into some of the statistics and thinking about things like that. But yeah, it's a wild business.
Well, it's interesting to see it through your eyes, because as a consumer, I only know this side, right, this small side that I buy a pack of this or whatever. But to know what it looks like at a state level, regional level, national level.
Right, right.
So y'all are thinking those things through beforehand.
We are, yeah.
And where things are going.
And then it's, you know, and again, how can we leverage it towards you know, the consumer and the customer and all those things. That's what's important to us, and obviously to kind of transition over into that, to be out here and part of such a great event that has so many different things that it goes into. And I try to educate about those idiosyncrasies side of the business, because I think that makes it more personal for people. But then when we can come out to something like this, and when we get into the minutia of it, I mean, this isn't something that we're really probably going to have an ROI on. This is something because it's the right thing to do. It's amazing people. It's an amazing reasons to be out here. And being out here around, if people hadn't been out here and seen the way that all these guys and girls that are volunteers and the sponsors, you know, like we're sitting here and many others, and to get this whole thing off the ground for 100,000 people, and then learn about what South Alabama's doing towards the Marine and the rules and regulations, and just this whole thing, how it works, and people like yourself getting the message out there, this is one of the most impressive things that's just volunteer-ran and sponsor-driven. That's we're just blessed to be a part of it, man.
Hey, y'all come down and check it out. And Trent, great to meet you, and Roll Tide to you.
Roll Tide, good to meet y'all.
And to my longtime buddy, the man who's good at everything, Abe Harper from Harper Technologies. We'll be right back. More Midday Mobile coming up next.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, John, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We are live from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. By the way, tomorrow from 11 to noon, special update show, outdoor show live from the rodeo site. So tomorrow morning at 7, you'll hear a classic show, a repeat show, and then you'll hear us go live here at 11 tomorrow from the rodeo site. All right, I got somebody who can do some explaining. You're driving down here, and I don't even know how far north these signs start, but there's going to be signs that call out people who litter because of what team they pull for. Only Alabama fans litter? That's no. Only Auburn fans litter? Yes. The man behind those signs and a whole lot more, my buddy Jason Cadillas, is in. Good to see you.
Hey, Sean. Nice to see you.
You're telling us and this is something like you and I've talked about privately, like stuff blows out of your boat. Like, and I figure, I don't know how many of them are ice bags that are empty, but I mean, it's just an idea like, hey, let's check before we go.
Yeah, coming down Hamilton Boulevard, it was like the Feather and Forrest Gump ice bag was just floating. And I said, I'm a man.
Yeah, it's, but I mean, this is the thing, at the back of our pickups, out of our boats, you know, just stow your trash.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whether it's intentional or not, it's
right,
just
and that's
us.
What I think a lot of people,
we're okay, just trying to change that mindset, you know, with all of our partners down here buying into this between the JCs and the town. Like, you know, you just get in your boat, you're ready to go do your business out on the water, you're going to work in your truck, but just stopping, taking a second, putting it in something where it's not going to blow out, it's going to make a big difference.
I think that's important too, to talk about, like, I don't know what we can do for the people that are intentional on it. I don't know. It, like, I lose my mind when I see it. It makes me, like, when people just litter, like, you see an arm come out and drops it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're, I mean, they're obviously a big problem. They're not the majority, though. I think the majority of what you said, I think they're people, if you just stop and think about it, they don't mean to litter. They're not going, I'm going to put all this stuff in the back of my truck or boat so I can go sling it down the road.
Yeah.
But they didn't think about it.
Changing behaviors is one of the hardest possible things we could do, right? But changing a mindset of just thinking, hey, you know,
let me look at the back of the truck. Let me look at the boat.
Throw it. You got some of those nice boats have 100 hatches and stowaways on them. Like, just pop it on in there.
You know, and not only, and I want to talk about how this affects environment, because it looks like, I use a technical term, the kids are out of school. It looks like crap, okay, going down the side of the road to see this. But it rains here. I don't know if people know that. It rains
just a little bit.
A little bit here in Mobile. Where's that stuff go?
Straight into storm drains, runoff into our local waterways.
Yeah, but that's, you see the stuff, you know, if you pass a litter getter that's full of stuff, or you see where the high tide's gone up, or we had some storm surge, and then it recedes, and you see that, that's all, a lot of that stuff people didn't mean to sling out.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. You know, and the Trash Blows campaign is just such a good message to get out, because it's a low-cost, high-impact, right? And I want everyone to know that this isn't something that belongs to the National Estuary Program. We have the graphics, the signs, the banners, all that stuff is open source. So if somebody from another municipality wants to grab that up and do their own Trash Blows campaign, we can get them all that stuff. We just want people using it, getting the message out.
No, absolutely. And also, just people think boats on trailers, that's when you see these signs, but when you're on the water, I mean, you know, stuff laying in a boat, you get up, you get it on a plane, and whee!
There it goes, same way as there's 100 ball caps probably already floating out there this weekend.
Well, I want to be honest here and transparent, whatever the people say. I have littered some ball caps over the years.
I think we're all guilty of that.
You know, you like, and it's fine, and then you catch a wind, or you turn to say something to your buddy, and boom, and you got that second where you're trying to get back there and get it before it sinks, and I have lost some.
Yeah.
But y'all think about that before you head down here, or wherever you go. Like you said, just go to work, you know, where stuff is.
Yeah, come see us.
Y'all are in the AC.
Yep, we're in the AC. Stop by, say hello. Come talk to us about any of our work.
Yeah, and y'all aren't just, like, you're here down on Dauphin Island, but NEP is this whole watershed.
That's right.
So in the last couple minutes here before we finish up, like, what, this is obviously what we're doing today, what we're talking about this weekend. On your list, Jason, triages, what's number one?
Ooh, that's a great question, Sean. That's a loaded question. Mm-hmm. It's certainly to continue to get our elected officials, our community leaders, which I think are buying into this idea of everything relies on our water, our economy, our quality of life, our cultural heritage, and all those folks. We just want to continue to give them the tools and resources to be better leaders. So when they come to us and they say, I need to learn more about this thing, or I'm trying to understand this issue, or can you help me get this tool that I think will help my team do a better job? That's what we're looking to do. That's my number one priority, is continue to serve those who are serving others.
Okay, so you're good, expert for them. They want to do something, but you know how to make it happen.
Well, I'd like to think we're a trusted, neutral convener, that we bring all the smart people to the table. It just doesn't start with our team. We've got a deep Rolodex. I'll call the right person, get them in front of each other. Let's have a good conversation, understand the science, understand the consensus of the community. Then we're going to figure out a plan to start to tackle that thing.
Yeah, y'all, and listen, I didn't have any advanced notes with him, but what you say, and I believe it in my heart, all this stuff around us, whether just people looking at the water, fishing, swimming, why people buy houses, why people move here, is because the water.
And 100, in my mind, 100%.
That is the linchpin to the whole thing.
Yep. Chamber recruiting businesses, all those things. People want, you know, safe cities, great places to play, good schools. And so we're right there in that triad of the habitat and our cultural and environmental resources are top.
Okay, people want to get more information, go online?
Yeah, you can go to Mobile Bay National Estuary Program on any of the channels and have a great rodeo, Sean.
All right, and y'all do this. While you're having a great rodeo like we are, stow it.
Trash blows.
All right, good stuff, Jason. Thank you. Good to see you. We'll be doing it again tomorrow for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Paul Feinbaum Show next.